Inside the American Soccer Podcast for May 28, 2010. I'm your host, Hal Phillips, and today we're going to get focused because the World Cup is only, 13 days away, and the roster for the U.S. men's national team was released along with most of the other 32 rosters on Wednesday. So we're going to do a little bit of talking about that today with Tom Watherington, one of our regular correspondents here, and we're going to get focused right now. Tom, how are you?
Yo, what's going on?
I think we should talk a little bit about the roster.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I think so. We'll get Dave involved later.
When are we going to do this?
Right now. So, Tom, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Where are you coming to us today from, Kennebunk or Cambridge?
This would be Kennebunk, Maine.
Kennebunk, Maine.
It's down the road from the Bush family compound.
That's right, and I'm maybe 45 minutes north in New Gloucester, Maine. And maybe just a few headlines here before we get into the U.S. roster, and we're going to keep it short and sweet today. But speaking of Argentina, the team doctor has okayed sex for their players during the World Cup. And I think that Maradona is on board with this, apparently, according to the news report. Tom, any reaction? Do you have any sort of experience in your efficacy having been laid or not the night before?
Boy, I don't know about that. I don't want to comment on that, but I do think the Argentines typically know what they're doing in terms of how to live life. And, you know, they fancy themselves to be Europeans at the forefront of good living. So I'll trust their judgment.
Other news from the World Cup front, apparently Essien is going to miss the World Cup.
Yes, that's what I heard, which puts a big damper on the chances of Ghana, the Black Stars of Ghana. I'm not sure that any of the African teams are going to live up to the hype, even though the World Cup is being played in South Africa, of course. But at this point, I think you're looking at the Ivory Coast or perhaps Nigeria as teams that will do the best out of the pool of African nations.
Well, I think this does have ramifications for the U.S. team because Ghana plays in Group D, and the U.S. team is slated to play, if they qualify out of their group, they play either the first or second place team from Group D, depending on how they do in their own group. So Ghana is in this group with Serbia, Germany, and Australia, and I would say Ghana, without arguably one of the top two or three players in the world, is far less a threat to any of those teams in group play, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would. I think personally that Serbia is a very strong side, and I would be surprised if it were not Germany and Serbia as the two teams that qualify out of that group. And the U.S. will likely, if we get through in second place, we'll play the first place team in that group, which I anticipate will be Germany.
That seems to make sense. So it should be no surprise, I guess, that Essien is not playing. He was off my radar, but he hasn't played since an African Cup of Nations match against the Ivory Coast on the 15th of January. He has not played since, so no real shock there. More of a shock is the fact that Torres, Fernando Torres, you know, all-world striker for Spain, the favorites to win this World Cup, only started training with the team, or any team, yesterday. He's on the squad, but he apparently took the field for about 45 minutes on Thursday, the 27th of May. We're coming to you on Friday, the 28th of May. And that's his first duty in any capacity since he went down with his torn cartilage in his right knee. I mean, do you think he's going to be ready, Tom? We're talking about Onyewu being a question mark. This guy's got to be a question mark.
Yes, I think he will be. Although he was such a force to be reckoned with at striker at Liverpool, that you just think of him as being fit, fast, strong, and dangerous to score. So if anyone can come back, I think Torres would be the person.
Well, those are the headlines. Let's talk about the World Cup roster, which was announced on Wednesday. Let's do this by position, Tom. I'm just going to go through the keepers here. Brad Guzan, Marcus Hahnemann, Tim Howard, Of course, all three play in the Premiership. Howard with Everton, Hanuman with promoted Wolves, right?
That's correct.
Or promoted last time, and they stayed up this time. And Brad Guzan, who's Brad Friedel's backup at Villa. No real surprises here, Tom, and Howard is probably going to get all the games, even from here on out.
Right. Tim Howard's the obvious number one, although Marcus Hanuman, I think, statistically had more saves than any other keeper in the Premier League this past season. Brad Guzan, who we saw in Hartford, Connecticut against the Czech Republic the other day, did not impress me enough to be considered the number two. So I think clearly Marcus Hanuman is in form and should be the number two behind Tim Howard.
Is he going to get a game before South Africa? I mean, if you're right and he's the number two, why didn't he play in Hartford?
That's a good question. I think we still have two games before the World Cup. So we've got Turkey tomorrow in Philadelphia, and then we have Australia in South Africa on the 5th of June. So I anticipate Hanuman would play in at least one of those games for a half.
Well, if you are correct, then he will get a game. But if you're not correct and he's number three, then we probably won't see him.
That's right.
Let's jump up to the striker list, because that's where the buzz is. The five strikers, well, they list them as strikers. Well, geez, they have London Donovan on this list. That's bad form here for ESPN SoccerNet. He is not a striker. The four strikers who are going, Jozy Altidore, Hull City, Edson Buttle with the Galaxy and MLS, Robbie Finley with Real Salt Lake, and Hercules Gomez, who plays for, I believe, Pachuca, but he might be transferring in the Mexican League. I guess this is the biggest shock of the selection process, that Bob Bradley went with so many strikers and so many unproven strikers, Tom.
Right. So out of the four, only Jozy Altidore has a track record of starting and scoring for the U.S. And even then, Altidore at age 20 has shown glimpses of promise, but no consistency and perhaps a work ethic that is it has been questioned by a number of people, including the manager at Hull City, where he recently played this season. So I think we have massive question marks at striker. Hopefully there's a Cinderella story here where someone like Hercules Gomez, who I think has been playing for Puebla in Mexico, he's transferring over to Pachuca next season. But he has only appeared, once or twice previously for the U.S., and just a short time ago, he wasn't good enough to consistently get a game at the Colorado Rapids in the Major League Soccer. So if he comes out of nowhere and performs in the World Cup, it'll be a miracle.
Well, a miracle, it may be too strong a word. This is a guy who led Tournament Clausura in Mexico in scoring this season. With 10 goals, I think he's the first American ever to lead any league outside MLS in scoring. He's clearly a capable striker, but to your point, he doesn't even start for Puebla. He comes off the bench mainly, but I think that in Bradley's mind, Bob Bradley, U.S. manager, that might be a point in his favor. This is a guy who's used to coming off the bench, and I think if we're honest, we're talking about playing Jozy Altidore and probably Clint Dempsey up top, or Jozy Altidore and Landon Donovan up top. It seems, Tom, that they're probably going to play either of those two guys to start, and whoever is the best form and whoever they're looking for to make an impression will come off the bench.
Yeah, although there's the possibility that Edson Buttle from the LA Galaxy, who's been proficient at scoring in the Major League Soccer this past season, could start up front with Altidore, so that you leave Clint Dempsey as a right midfielder and Landon Donovan as the left midfielder, which is, I think, our optimal lineup.
Well, let's go through the midfielders right now just so that we can clear up this, or rather add to this conversation. They are DeMarcus Beasley, Michael Bradley, Ricardo Clark, Clint Dempsey, Maurice Edu, Benny Feilhaber, Stuart Holden, and Jose Francisco Torres. Any surprises here, Tom? I don't see any.
No, I don't think there are any surprises other than DeMarcus Beasley, who's been on the U.S. team for years now, what, since 2000, perhaps?
Three straight World Cups for him.
He really has been injured the past year or two and fallen way out of form in terms of his performances for the U.S. national team. But he apparently has made a comeback of sorts, and there's an outside chance that he'll actually get playing time at either left midfield or, some people are saying, at left fullback, which is our primary weak spot in the lineup currently.
The wild card here, which was answered somewhat by his performance and his fitness level, his obvious fitness level against the Czechs in Hartford this week, is Stu Holden, who is clearly healthy. He had broken his tibia in a friendly, I guess, in March against the Dutch in Amsterdam. But if he's on the field, Tom, at right midfield, it certainly frees up Dempsey to play striker.
That's right. That's right. And Stuart Holden seems to be a young player with a lot of confidence, and he likes to get forward. He can cross the ball well.
I think Bradley, that is Coach Bradley, clearly likes him, and I think would like to have the luxury of playing Clint Dempsey up top, because it's a weakness, and they don't lose much, or they don't lose markedly by playing Holden there in his place. Coach Bradley has a son, Michael Bradley, who has pretty much been penciled in as the attacking midfielder of the four that will probably start in South Africa. Who plays behind him in the defensive role is a question, but I think it's becoming less and less of a question. I think Ricardo Clark is Bradley's guy, don't you?
Well, that's what you said, based on the fact that Maurice Adu from Glasgow Rangers started the game where we watched the loss to the Czech Republic the other night. And Maurice Adu actually is in form for Glasgow Rangers and scored the winning goal against Celtic in a key game at the end of the season, where they ended up winning the championship in Scotland. I personally prefer Adu at defensive midfielder, but you seem to think that Ricardo Clark will play there.
Ricardo Clark did find a starting job with Eintracht Frankfurt in the Bundesliga in the second half of this season, and I don't know that we have another defensive midfielder who plays for a better club in a better league regularly. So there's that. We can talk a little bit about the Hartford game now. The result, a 4-2 defeat, is not particularly relevant, because Bradley played a ton of also-rans and gave people one final look before selecting the roster. But I think it was telling that he played Maurice Adu in that game and did not play Ricardo Clark, because Clark was, you know, not even dressed with all the other eight starters who missed the game. But Adu is interesting. He's clearly a solid defensive midfielder. But Bradley wanted to see how he played in this game, obviously. But he also pushed Adu back to center defense, which is a bit of a worry on this team, and I think that's why he played him there, Tom, so we could have a look at him playing both of those positions. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, that makes perfect sense, and I think Maurice Adu was interviewed and said that he does feel comfortable at center back, and that he would play wherever necessary for the team. So given the injuries to Gucci Onyewu, the giant 6'4" center back who's at AC Milan, I think you might end up seeing Maurice Adu at center back, along with either Clarence Goodson or Jay Demerit.
These are the defenders who will be going to South Africa. Jonathan Spector with West Ham United and Premiership. Oguchi Onyewu, AC Milan. Clarence Goodson, who plays his club football in Norway. Jay Demerit, Watford in the English Championship, first division, if you will. Second division, it's complicated. The second best division in England, Watford, the Championship, it's called. Anyway, Steve Cherundolo plays for Hanover 96, and our friend Jonathan Bornstein, who plays with Chivas in MLS, and then Carlos Bocanegra, who plays with Rennes in the French League. Just to recap, Onyewu, you know, tore up his knee in the final qualifying game against Costa Rica back in November 2009. did not really play for AC Milan, although he trained with them for the last month. He's fresh off of this injury, essentially, and he played 65 minutes against the Czechs in Hartford. He's still a question mark, Tom, and it's not clear that he's it's clear that he's not 100%, and what I guess the question is, how healthy does he have to be to start?
You know, to be honest, he's always been such a big guy. His mobility is, when he's 100% fit, is okay. But I would say that if you're playing against world-class strikers, the likes of Fernando Torres of Spain or any of them that have a lot of pace, he's already a bit too slow to catch up with those guys. And if he's even 80% fit, which I'm not sure he is right now, he's too slow in my book to start. So I was almost thinking that Bob Bradley wouldn't select him, and he would opt to take someone who was 100% fit instead.
I don't think that their choices are particularly inviting if he were not to bring him. Let's talk about exactly how these things might shake out. Right now, Jaden Merritt has got a little bit of a knock, but he's really, you can pencil him in as one of the four defenders to start. Can we agree on that?
He's had a season where he hasn't really played a lot. If his fitness is there, maybe he is the preferred starter at center back. The question is, who will partner him?
Part of the interest in Demerit was that he partnered so very well with Onyewu in South Africa for the Confederations Cup a year ago at this time. So he is hurt, as is the other presumed starter, Carlos Bocanegra, who has got, a thigh strain or something like that?
He had sports hernia surgery recently, a couple of weeks ago.
Those two guys are presumed starters but hurt. The other guy who is, I think, the quickest defender and the guy who solves a lot of their problems if he is just thrown into the right back position, if Steve Cherundolo, if they play someone like Onyewu and someone like Bocanegra in the middle of the field, neither of those guys are particularly fast, and I think Cherundolo is an inviting prospect at right back, you know, when he's in form, and he appears to be.
To me, right now, Steve Cherundolo is the best back that we have all around. He's got pace. He's got dribbling capability. He can take the ball forward, overlap, and cross it. He's been a captain at Hanover in Germany in the Bundesliga, and he's been there for 10 or 12 or 13 years now. So he's played at a very high level, and I think he's automatic at right back. And then apparently the word was yesterday that when they trained with the starters in the lineup, they had Carlos Bocanegra at left back, which I think is the likely solution for the World Cup. Bocanegra previously would have been in the middle as a center back, but I think he's going to play left in the World Cup.
I think that's wise, because he's fit. He's not the speediest left back, but if Jonathan Bornstein gets his behind off the bench at all once in this World Cup, I'm going to turn the TV set off, because I don't think he should have gone. I don't think he should have been chosen. He's completely out of his depth at this level. So they've got to play him there. And if they don't play him, I would play Jonathan Spector at left back. But you can see how much, how many questions there are here. Clarence Goodson, who has played some nice matches for the United States, but has only been capped maybe 10 times, and plays his, club football in Norway, is all of a sudden a player and in the mix for a starting job at the World Cup because of all these injuries, because of the question, do you play Clarence Goodson at center back over Maurice Adu, or Adu would be playing out of position? I mean, so much is up in the air.
That's right. It's going to be very interesting. And I think the bottom line is, when the U.S. plays a team like England, England still has to prove that they can play well together as a team, but individually they're phenomenal. And when you see someone like Wayne Rooney or Theo Walcott or Aaron Lennon coming up the field with pace, and you're wondering, can someone like Clarence Goodson or even Jay Demerit or Carlos Bocanegra keep up with these people? I would say probably not. So I'm worried we're going to leak goals in this World Cup.
Well, I think we are going to give up some goals. but I think we're going to give up goals to good teams. And I'm not sure how many good teams are in our group other than England. So we'll have to wait and see. And I think a nice job lining up friendlies, because I think that Turkey may just be the best team out there in the world that's not going to the World Cup. And the U.S. plays them tomorrow in Philadelphia, I believe.
Right.
We are T-minus 13 days and some 22 hours until the World Cup kicks off June 11. One fellow who is not going to be on this trip to South Africa, at least not as a roster player, is Charlie Davies, who was arguably the best American striker when he was in a car accident before the final qualifier in November of 2009. You know, he's lucky to be alive, but he had forged a pretty amazing comeback campaign under the watchful eye of his club team, Sochaux, in the Liga in France. He was not deemed fit by Sochaux, though, to play and to train properly, and Bradley didn't even bring him to the 30-man 30-man camp that preceded this cut down to 23 players. Tom is our modern-day Zelig. He's everywhere and actually ran into Charlie Davies. Where were you, Tom?
I was at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris on my way back from Hamburg watching Fulham in the Europa League final. And we had a long stopover at the airport, and I looked up, and there was Charlie Davies with his girlfriend, and I guess they were coming back to New England to see family. So we flew on the same flight from Paris to Boston, and I talked to him for 5 or 10 minutes, and he was very disappointed. I hadn't heard the news that he didn't make the pre-World Cup camp, and I was asking him when the camp was starting, and he said it was starting in 2 days, and that guys were showing up to the camp that day and the next day. And I looked at him and said, I'm very sorry that you're not going to be there. That's terrible news. But, you know, there are a lot of people that have really supported his hard work to come back from serious injuries. And he did have the perspective of saying that, you know, when all is said and done, he's going to have, hopefully, another World Cup or two to be fit and play for the U.S. going forward. So I think he's got a good attitude. And he said he's going to train with the L.A. Galaxy during this off-season for his club in France.
How did he look? I mean, he apparently had facial reconstruction surgery. Obviously, he was recognizable. You recognized him. But did he look like he had been in a near-fatal car crash 4 or 5 months before?
No, you really wouldn't have thought that at all. I didn't see any scars on his face. And he looked just like I've seen him on television. He's a fairly solid guy, not overly muscular, but you can tell he's a fit athlete, and he's short though. He's probably 5'8", and you know, his biggest gift, I think, besides a great attitude and hustle, is his speed. He's able to open up defenses where other players that we have in the lineup couldn't do that. His speed is that exceptional. So hopefully he regains that through a hard fitness regime.
We at the Unsightly American Soccer Podcast certainly do wish him the best of luck, because we are New Englanders ourselves, and so is he. He's from New Hampshire and went to Boston College, and it's quite something that that state and that program produced such a fine striker. Anything else to add on the roster front here, Tom, before we let it go for today?
We have the match tomorrow with Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Wall, the Sports Illustrated soccer writer, if you will, is writing up here that he believes Maurice Adu will start alongside Michael Bradley in the midfield as the defensive midfielder, although Ricardo Clark could be also in the plans. And then he seems to believe that that Stuart Holden will start at right halfback or right midfield, and that will allow Clint Dempsey to move up to striker, where he'll partner Josie Altidore. And the big question mark is how we align our center backs, given that Carlos Bocanegra, a captain for the U.S., will probably play at left back, and then Steve Cherundolo at right back. So things are taking shape and coming together pretty quickly here. Would you actually put DeMarcus Beasley as the starting left midfielder, knowing that Landon Donovan would then play on the right and Stuart Holden would simply be a substitute? Or would you keep Donovan on the left, start Stuart Holden, and have Beasley as a substitute?
I guess I have a better question, or what I think is a better question, is if you are going to put Donovan on the right midfield at Holden's expense, why can't we play Jose Francisco Torres on the left? I'd rather have him in the game than DeMarcus Beasley. He's a better defensive player. He's better on the ball. He's just better.
Okay, well, here's the argument for Beasley on the left. The argument is that Beasley is still speedy, and Bocanegra at left back is not, and that Beasley tracks back well and covers a lot of ground as a speedy midfielder on the left, which can help provide cover for Bocanegra.
I think that's a valid point, and it certainly is true that if Donovan plays on the left, Bocanegra will be exposed unduly, because that's what happens when Donovan goes forward. He's our best player, but he goes forward. He's not a defensive whiz, and we've seen him expose Bornstein horribly, and he surely will expose whomever is playing behind him.
Right, that's right. So in that scenario, if Donovan is on the left, I'd almost prefer to see Carlos Bocanegra push all the way up to midfield or beyond, and if he has to foul someone, foul them up there, other than as opposed to his traditional move, which is to foul someone near the top of the box or in a dangerous place.
But Torres is a guy who has played defensive midfielder for us. I mean, this is a guy who clearly can defend and track. He's left-footed. He's great on the ball. He holds it. He's offensive-minded. Yeah. Why isn't this guy getting any time?
That's a good question. I don't think Bradley feels that he fits in well to the shape and the system that they want to use in the World Cup.
It's hard for me to imagine that he fit into any system better than DeMarcus Beasley at 30 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, Tom, thanks again for your time. We'll catch up with another podcast next week after the Turkey game.
Okay, thanks.
Off you go.
Bye.